The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it arose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Welcome to All Saints this morning, and Happy New Year. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade, your word will last forever. Lord, would you make the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts pleasing in your sight this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Tim mentioned in our church calendar, yesterday ended the Christmas season, 12 days of wonder. because one day isn't enough for us pondering and celebrating the miracle of Emmanuel, God with us. Today begins the Epiphany season, which lasts until Ash Wednesday, and the Lenten season. And as the inside cover of your liturgy says, you might have noticed, Epiphany means to show, reveal, or make known. As a season, it's a time for seeking to see Christ more clearly as he moves from obscurity to clarity, veiled to unveiled, inaccessible to accessible, and from the periphery of our interest and attention to the center of our lives. Epiphany's paradigm for following Jesus is the Magi, the wise men, from Matthew chapter 2. And that's our text for this morning, which is the only place to find the story of the wise men in Scripture. It calls us to examine our lives and to ask, are we seeking and finding the true King so that he'd be revealed and manifest in our life? These are our two points, seeking and finding. So first, seeking, as found in verses 1 through 9. And it begs the question for us, are you seeking to find the true King? The Magi remind us here, our seeking shows in our effort. We just sang about such seeking in our hymn, We Three Kings. Now, most of the lyrics reflect Scripture, but not all. Some are from church tradition. Notice Matthew does not mention three kings, only three gifts, which has given rise to the assumption of three givers. But there could have been only two, or many more. Matthew doesn't mention kings either, but verse 1, wise men, the Greek magoi, great ones of wisdom, scholars who studied the skies, astronomer-astrologers, scientist-philosophers. They could have also been kings, but we're not sure. And from the east, meaning non-Jews, Gentiles, from a foreign nation or foreign nations, regardless of their number, title, or their cultural origin, these wise men were prompted to notice something astronomical, a remarkable star. Some think it was the convergence of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC, or what Chinese astronomers describe as a supernova in 5 BC. Such possibilities would be God sovereignly working through the natural consequences of his creation. Or was it a miraculous intervention from God, a supernatural light in the darkness, leading them to Jerusalem? It seems to be, because that's not their final destination. And verse 9 indicates the star seems to pause until the wise men, by faith, inquire further of whomever will listen in Jerusalem. And eventually, that's Herod, the one Rome installed king of the Jews. Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? They ask, verse 2. God must have been grinning about now at the irony. Magi kings asking the king, where's the newborn king? In 10 BC, Herod finished building a great city called Caesarea Maritima on Israel's Mediterranean coast. And so it wasn't unusual for foreign dignitaries to visit and pay homage to such a great city. But it was unusual for foreigners to know the Hebrew Scriptures enough to follow a sign of Israel's prophesied Messiah king. How did these magi know of such Jewish prophecy? It's believed the east from which they came was Persia, Babylon, modern-day Baghdad in Iraq. East of Israel, where the Jews were exiled generations before, and where they brought with them in their exile God's word, which prophesied of Israel's great hope, the Messiah King, king of the Jews, who would rule the world. These wise men knew these prophecies enough to follow a star to get them to Jerusalem, where they could inquire more. Now think about it. What an odd picture. Who are the last people you'd imagine seeking to worship Israel's promised king? Pagan astronomers from Babylon that conquered the exiled and exiled the Jews. That's who. This story speaks directly to any of us here who are seekers this morning. Maybe you've never imagined yourself as a follower of Christ, but have you investigated the claims of Jesus? Have you read the scriptures for yourself? Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, as St. Paul describes in our Ephesians 3 text. St. Augustine said, "Christianity is a pond shallow enough for a child to wade in, but deep enough to drown an elephant." Friend, God urges your inquiry. He welcomes it. So what was it before the star appeared that these wise men experienced that transformed them into seekers with eyes of faith to see and follow a star, God's sign that his promised king has come? It's the same things that transform any of us into seekers. God working in us through the faithful lives of his people and through his word. Exile to Babylon brought both. After exile, many returned to Israel, but some remained and lived their lives in Persia as followers of Yahweh. The Magi were able to study both God's word and, over time, the lives of God's faithful people. This reminds us, Christian, sometimes your life is the only Bible a person has yet to read. The Magi knew just enough to get it. Jesus, this newborn king, is worthy to be sought and worshiped. But consider how much more we know than they did. We know the full story, the finished scriptures, all the messianic prophecies Jesus fulfilled, and we have his indwelling Holy Spirit. How much more then should our priority be to seek him? Consider their response to what they knew. The long, difficult, dangerous distance they traveled from Babylon, presumably, to Jerusalem. About the same distance as walking from Austin to Albuquerque. And don't assume camels just because your crash set has it. Plenty of bandits and blisters. No Buc-ee's along the way or Motel 6 to leave the light on for you. All to find honor and worship the one about whom they had so little, relatively, information. Only a small part of the grand story. How much more we know than they. How much more we should respond. So does our seeking look like the wise men or more like Herod? Consider Herod's response, verse 9. He sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." Really? Instead of seeking to find, Herod is seeking to avoid. Jerusalem to Bethlehem is only 5 miles, a mile less than walking from here to Barton Creek Square Mall. If he really wanted to worship the new king, Herod would have gone with them, being carried by his entourage. Instead, he wanted to avoid any rivalry to his reign. Jesus is not the only one here in our text who is born a king. Herod wasn't born king of the Jews like Jesus. Rome installed him, as I said, as a puppet king. But Herod was born a king in the same way all of us are since Genesis 3. Born with a sin tendency to reign over our own life, to do what we can to avoid any rival to our throne. I was reminded of this tendency last week when we were up in Fort Worth visiting family, particularly our nephew's toddler, Adeline, sweet Adeline. She was playing along happily when all of a sudden she grabbed a pen from a family member and yelled, "Mine!" Now, I know her parents didn't teach her this. No parent does. It's a tendency we're all born with. I want what I want when I want it. I want things my way. Now, in case you're saying, "Craig, why don't you pick on somebody your own size?" Let me tell you about last Friday night at Loro on South Lamar. The food's great, but they have this evil concept called open dining. That's great for Starbucks or a coffee house, but for dinner, when you have out-of-town friend that you want to give a nice dinner to, and it's cold, and you're hangry, and you're waiting in line for a while, they finally let you in, but then they let other people in who have come in later than you and were in line behind you. And so for five, I'm looking around to scramble and cobble together seating for us and can't find it. Finally, after I'm seated by myself, saving the five places with coats while everybody else is ordering for me, I'm ruminating. I'm paying for this. This is not serving me. What a crazy concept. And then I think of sweet Adeline. And what minor, small, first world problems it takes to make me think and act like a 2-year-old. I may not take it as far as Herod, but given the right circumstances, it's disturbing to see my kingship. We're all born a king with the potential to be like Herod, but God is about revealing himself to you and to me like the Magi. Are you seeking him? Are you pursuing the clues he's leaving in your life that he's there? As you seek him, God will give you more grace to find him. God says to his people, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It's what we see with the wise men. Their effort in seeking leads to finding. And that's our second point, finding. Verses 9 through 12, which beg the question, what are you offering to the true king? The Magi remind us, our finding the king shows in our worship and our witness. Verse 9, "Behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy upon finding the true king." You see, the wise men became worshipers. What do worshipers look like? Quote, "They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Let me translate that from the original Greek to modern English. They did a happy dance like nobody's business. That's what they did. That is the kind of worship we are to have. Rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. Verse 11, "And going into the house, they saw the child." The house, not the manger. It was years later. "And they saw the child, not the infant, with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts." Cheerful, joyful, faithful worshipers are cheerful, joyful, faithful givers. Givers of their talents, time, and treasures. The Magi used their talents to notice and interpret the stars and applied them to God's promises. They gave their time set aside their comfort and safety to follow where God's light led, Baghdad to Bethlehem. And when their seeking found the true king, they worshiped sacrificially with their treasures. Gold, a gift to honor royalty. Frankincense, a gift to worship deity. And myrrh, a gift to respectfully prepare the dead. For the royal, sacrificial God-man Jesus, very appropriate gifts. But not just appropriate. Neither the Magi, nor Mary, nor Joseph knew how much these gifts would be vitally needed as financial resources for this young family when they would have to flee from their land and language, everything they knew, their family and their livelihood, to live in Egypt until Herod's death ended his efforts to kill their son. It's likely the Magi died not knowing how their sacrificial gifts in worship were used and how needed they were. This is one of the many blessings we can look forward to in heaven, seeing the ripple effects of how God employs our worshipful gifts in the extension of his kingdom throughout his world and through the generations to fulfill his grand plan of recreation. So, does your typical worship look like these wise men? Do we get it like they did? What would it look like if we did? Well, we might be more joyful and engaged in worship, with minds more focused on every aspect, instead of at times daydreaming or meditating on our to-do lists. And we would be, on time typically. You're at Memorial Stadium by kickoff because the horns are worth it. You make your tea time because your handicap's worth it. And your yoga class because your body's worth it. And your kids' school bell because their future's worth it. Does your worship show that Jesus is worth it? Finding the true King shows in our worship and in our witness. The Magi went back to their homes, their nation, and their neighborhood to be lights shining in the darkness. But as Tim said earlier, they went another way. They went changed and sensitive to the Spirit's leading even more. To be lights shining in the darkness, like little Christs, as C.S. Lewis calls us, followers of Jesus, where he's enthroned in our hearts, born to dwell in us forever. This Jesus, King of all the nations, Matthew's gospel is written especially for Jews of all the gospels. It opens with Gentile Magi coming to worship the promised Messiah King, and it ends with the Great Commission for Jesus' disciples to go and worship to all the nations. John Piper says, missions exist because worship doesn't. You see, witness and worship go together. You can't separate them. Charles Spurgeon says, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And Bishop William Temple said, the church is the only institution that exists for the benefit of its non-members. Our seeking and finding the newborn King shows itself in being newborn ourselves, born again, with his Spirit indwelling us, directing and empowering us to shine in the darkness wherever he sends us. What might that look like for you in 2019? What might that look like for All Saints Church? Ask the one who was born to dwell in you forever, the one who sits on the throne of your life, to show you this week, by the prompting of his Spirit, the next steps he wants you to take in a new journey to shine more brightly for him. Small groups, Bible studies, and Sunday school classes talk about and pray about how each of you can be a community of faith in Jesus that shines more brightly, that gossips the gospel, so to speak, wherever God leads us. Get to know your nearest neighbors whom you don't know. Get to know them well enough to know how to pray for them, what's going on in their lives. Our newborn King has come to reign in you, in us, together, forever. And a final question. When was the last time you came away from worship amazed and surprised that you are included in being a worshiper? Who would have thought that God would save the likes of St. Augustine, a serial playboy, or John Newton, a slave trader, or Charles Colson, the president's hatchet man, or Rabbi Saul, persecutor of those followers of Jesus, or myself, chief of sinners? Isaac Watts writes, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." If you find yourself leaving worship surprised like that, be encouraged. You get it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, though we all start like King Herod, by your grace, put us on the path of seeking, like the Magi kings. And by your grace, may we as wise men find you, Christ, the true King. Reveal and manifest your reign in us through our worship and our witness. Three kings, Herod, Magi, and Christ. Lord, may we each rest and revel in the last who reigns in us forever. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.